Welcome to Brave Together podcast here on UK Health Radio, an empowering resource for the parents of children with disabilities, neurodivergence, and all unique needs.
What I've learned is our children can go to like therapy with, you know, professionals. And there are so many beautiful professionals out there, but it's only going to, you know, be that 1 hour of impact or influence on our children. But when we educate mums, when we give mums the tools and the resources to navigate this, but to also trust themselves, the impact of that is just huge.
Hello, Brave friends. I'm your host for this episode, Jessica Pate, Brave mom and founder of the nonprofit We Are Brave Together. And I'm joined by Susanna Peace Lavelle, author, life coach, and advocate for disability families. Today's episode is an interview with an expert on a deeply important and timely topic for you, the caregiving listener: supporting neurodivergent children through burnout and nervous system safety. Our guest today is Tanya Valentin, a neuroaffirming family coach, author, and podcast host. She supports parents of autistic and ADHD children through burnout recovery, using compassion, practical tools, and a deep understanding of nervous system regulation. Through her membership community, she helps families slow down, reconnect, and rediscover calm, connection, and joy in parenting. We truly believe that you're going to love this episode, because how often do we hear about kids in burnout? In this community, we talk so much about parents and burnout, but we're going to talk about kids and burnout. And Tanya brings both grounded tools and deep empathy to a season of parenting that so many of our families find themselves in, but they don't always have the language for. This conversation is validating, practical, and hopeful. Friends, here is just a quick reminder, always, to please rate and review this podcast, share episodes with your friends, follow us on social media, and check out our episodes posted weekly on our We Are Brave Together YouTube channel. Now, please enjoy our conversation with Tanya Valentin. Tanya, welcome to Brave Together podcast. Susanna and I are thrilled and so excited to spend this time with you and ask you all the things.
Excited to be here.
I am personally welcoming you with open arms right now, Tanya. So I'm excited to dive in. Yay.
Yay. Yes, absolutely. Let's do it. Let's have a juicy conversation.
Tell us a little bit of your story. How did you also fall into this professionally?
So I have 25 years experience in education. And slowly over time, I trained as a teacher initially for early childhood, so sort of kindergarten age children. And slowly over time, that evolved into more coaching and leadership mentoring, which is what I did before my daughter went into burnout. And then around COVID, or actually it was before COVID, we moved cities, and my two older children were just not doing well. They were really struggling with their mental health, and we didn't know what was wrong. You know, we tried all the therapies, we tried the medications, we tried everything, and they just, nothing seemed to be working. And then we went into COVID, which I know is, you know, such a pivotal time for a lot of families, where, you know, things really changed for them and things just got a whole lot worse. And then my middle daughter, who had been struggling the most with all kinds of things, you know, eating disorders and her mental health, anxiety, depression, and such a bright, gifted young person who really just had such big dreams for herself and really pushed herself with academics. She just reached this point where she just could not function anymore. She couldn't go to school. She couldn't get out of bed. we were having lots of self-harm. We ended up in hospital through, you know, her really just not wanting to be here anymore. And I just thought, whoa, what's happening here? This is not the parenting journey that I had planned. This is not what I wanted for my children. And so we then did some more tests, and then eventually one of the psychologists we were working with said, hey, let's test for autism. And we, at that stage, you know, there wasn't a lot known about girls and autism, so it took a while for them to just even get it over the line for the diagnosis. But then we discovered that she was autistic, and I started learning about the language of autistic burnout. She was 16 at the time, and we then discovered that my older daughter, who was 18 in her last year of high school, was autistic too. And it was just a really, really overwhelming time for our family, because we were, and I think maybe some of your listeners could relate to this. Our family was in a major crisis, and we were doing a crash course in autism and parenting, and parenting two autistic children at the same time as trying to manage family crisis and basically keep my daughter alive. Yeah. And, you know, that was just a very, very scary time, a very scary thing to navigate as a parent.
That's a lot. You were handed so much all at the same time. And it's just, how did you not burn out, Tanya?
Well, I had to make a lot of really big life changes. My career that was doing really well, I was doing lots of traveling for work, and it was really taking off. I had to pull back on that. I had to stop that. And I had to really just focus on being the full-time caregiver for my daughter. And I know that a lot of parents are faced with that as well when their children go into burnout. And I've always been the type of person that is very introspective, and it takes me a while to process things. So I did a lot of writing, a lot of just journaling and recording my thoughts and everything that was going on for me as a process on paper, because the other challenge that I really felt was there wasn't a lot of support people around me that actually understood what was going on. I tried to go to a counselor when my daughter went into the hospital for the first time, and all she said, I kid you not, this was like probably about 50 times in an hour, said, this is so hard. This must be so hard for you. And wow. And yes, I totally believe in, you know, emotional validation, but I just walked away feeling, yeah, you just had nothing else to say. And yes, I know that this is incredibly hard, but I just didn't feel really understood. So so I had to, a lot of times I just had to figure things out for myself.
I'm also curious, Tanya, if you can give us a definition of what you mean by burnout. So and the reason why I'm asking is because Jessica and I were talking before we started recording, and we were just so interested. We often hear about caregiver burnout and parenting burnout, especially us as moms who often carry sort of the emotional weight, usually, right? Not every situation, but we've never heard about, you know, burnout in our children. In terms of like that languaging. And so wondering if you can just define that for us, because, you know, then we can get into like, what can the signs be? What are the signs, what kind of signs can we start looking for and just being more conscious and aware?
Absolutely. So the definition that I use, and this might not be the, you know, the technical medical or medical definition, if there even is one, because a lot of times it isn't even acknowledged. Mm-hmm. But what I talk about and what a lot of parents talk about with burnout is that it is a situation where our children have been either undiagnosed or been heavily masking due to being neurocomplex and being in environments and systems that don't support them. And then eventually they reach a place where their nervous system has just been in survival mode for way too long. They've been really just pushing themselves to get through each day, but using more resources than they actually have available to them. And then at some stage, their nervous system just goes, I just can't do this anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what actually happens is almost like, I've heard someone say to me, it's almost like getting a brain injury through concussion. You just reach this point where you just can't function anymore. And for our children, it might look like extreme behaviors. It might look like just not being able to get out of bed, can't go to school. It might be extreme aggression. It might be just total shutdown. It's this nervous system condition that not a lot of people understand, because sometimes it can look like depression. Sometimes it can look like anxiety. If the young person is met with people who don't understand, sometimes our children are labeled as defiant or, you know, you just need to try harder. You just need to push them to go to school. Right. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then what happens is a child that's already, their system is already way beyond what they can actually cope with. We're just pushing them further and further into burnout.
Wow. I'm sure there's a lot of us who miss it and just see the behaviors and get so frustrated and burnt ourselves just by dealing with behaviors. And then parents go into major survival mode just to manage without really getting curious and going deeper.
And that's the really hard thing, is because there isn't a lot of, especially when my daughter was in burnout, there isn't a lot of mainstream resources out there. Mm-hmm. The parenting that we have to do to actually support our children to get out of burnout feels like everything that you have been told is wrong in parenting. You're basically having to do a 180. And yes, so many of us have just been taught to see things in black and white and as behaviors.
Stay with us, Bravies. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Brave Together podcast.
Yeah. And so then there is this scenario and this situation. And by the way, I'm assuming that, you know, burnout in kiddos doesn't just happen once and then we're done with it, right?
It's not
chaotic thing, right? just like we as caregivers don't just have one episode and then we're good, right?
Yeah.
So then how can we practice as parents as we're starting to lean into the different signs, noticing what's happening with our kiddos, little pieces of information that they're sharing with us through different behaviors and being more conscious about that, then how can we exercise? And I'm asking for a friend here. How can we exercise both compassion for our children when it is so hard for us to really understand or relate, because we're just thinking like, okay, but you still have to go to school. So anyhow, let's get through it, have your meltdown and let's go. So number one, being able to have that lens of compassion toward our children as they're going through, you know, the season or this particular episode. And then also too, being able to exercise that same compassion within as a caregiver, because I feel like that's when we need it, or that's when I need it the most, because it feels heavy and it feels like this is going to require some extra support, you know, extra resources, extra overflow that I might not be able to access for myself right now. So Tanya, please help me.
Okay, so before our children get into what we often call acute burnout, where it's like they cannot physically function, there will be warning signs for parents. And this is what is often called like daily burnout. So many parents will recognize this as their children going to school and then those big after-school meltdowns or shutdowns where, you know, like they seem absolutely fine at school and the parent starts to see a totally different child to what the teacher sees. They might bring up the behavior to doctors or to teachers and they'll go, well, no, it's, we don't see any of that. That must be your parenting. And wow.
Yeah,
but there's,
we've heard this before.
Yeah, but for burnout, there will also be other signs. So there will be things like sensory overwhelm will become a lot more pronounced. So if your child was previously able to tolerate loud sounds or environments that were slightly louder, but all of a sudden that might feel totally overwhelming for them, they might not feel comfortable wearing clothes because their clothes feel just too much for them. They're like lights or, you know, bright lights or environments that are bright might just be like, might not be able to function in those. And we'll also see things like it will look like regression. So things like perhaps if your child's, you know, been self-toileting for a while, they might start to, you know, go backwards in that. There might be like changes in eating patterns. So there might be more restrictive eating or more kind of, I'm not like more sort of controlling behaviors or more rigid thinking as well. So these are sort of the subtle signs in our children that things perhaps are getting a little bit too overwhelming for them. And sleep is another huge one. Sometimes yeah. they may struggle to go to sleep. Some parents talk about like a total 24-hour sort of sleep cycle where their children are up at night and want to sleep during the day, or they may want to sleep more. And yeah, so you would notice all those little things. It won't just be behavior. There's you know, a lot of these other little signs that we can look at. And when we start to notice those as parents, see those as little red flags that we need to be looking a little bit deeper.
This is so good. This is so supportive.
Do you also, well, I don't know if I'm taking us in a different direction, but I just feel like this would be so helpful for teachers to also identify, although we know, yes, there are definitely hundreds, thousands, millions of kids who get themselves through their day and then fall apart at home.
I think from what my own experience with my daughter, who was very high masking, but also very high achieving at school, what teachers might start to see might be a child that's even pushing themselves further than, you know, like than what they have before. So if they've been quite perfectionist before, or really been trying to push themselves to excel or succeed, they might start to notice more of that. Because, you know, when we start as humans, when we start to feel ourselves like going into burnout, what often happens is we get this sort of urgency to push ourselves through it rather than giving ourselves a break or being kind or compassionate to ourselves. And it's the same with our children.
Right.
Because our kids don't want to be in that state. They want to be able to do the things that are expected of them. Many of our children are rule followers, and they want to live up to the expectations of the people around them because that's how they feel safe. And then suddenly we reach the state where they are no longer able to use those strategies anymore. They're no longer able to mask. And that can be really distressing for them as well.
I'm sitting here, I'm taking notes again, you know, this is so supportive and helpful. And, you know, getting back to sort of, you know, the beginning of our conversation where Jessica was asking about your path to now your business and your offerings now as a coach, a neuroaffirming coach. And I'm curious about the transition then from, and I'm assuming you are still, well, where are you right now in terms of caregiving your three children and, you know, how are they today? And, you know, I'm just, because you're offering so much to this beautiful community that we are a part of. And, you know, I'm just wondering how then you got into this business, right?
Sure. So first of all, thank you very much for asking about my children. And you're so right from what you said at the beginning. When we are parenting neurodivergent children and young adults, there is never sort of a one and done thing, you know, where it's a constant journey of support and learning, especially if you as a parent have come to having this neuroaffirming lens later in life or later in your children's lives. There is so much for us as parents to learn, to confront, to discover about ourselves, our children, because that's one of the things that I discovered about myself too. I didn't realize that I was neurodivergent. And so
Wow.
I've had to navigate my own diagnosis as an ADHD person through this as well, which, you know, is a totally different thing. But at the moment, my older child is living with us and is recovering from their own sort of form of burnout, although I am starting to see them really just branching out into trying new things, and we're just being ultra supportive of that at the moment. My youngest is in high school, and I think for us, we have managed to, from what I've learned about burnout, help to support him so that he has less risk of going into burnout in high school, because that's when a lot of our children do go into burnout, is at those adolescent and high school years. Although I have known children as young as, you know, 3 or 4 and 5 to go into burnout. Wow. And then my middle daughter, who has been, you know, really, really struggling, she's doing so well. She's finished her first year of university. Yeah. And the other thing is that she still struggles every day. She still needs to make choices in how she manages her time and her energy. And she's a young person, you know, she's 21. So that's a really hard thing for her. And for me as her mum, because she doesn't live with us, she lives about 11 hours away from us in her university town, you know, it's learning how to support her in a way that she can learn about herself and manage herself, but that she doesn't totally fall apart either. So that's a tricky line to navigate as a mum. And you know, we're learning as we're going.
We're trying to get our young adult children to do the basic things that really help them on an everyday basis, whether it's, you know, drinking enough water and going to bed, you know, at a decent time and not being married to screens and making sure you get proper nourishment, you know, and then also, you know, we can't protect once they're out of the house, whether they're out or they're in, you know, university. We don't know who's in their life either. That could be draining their energy or, you know, is not the best, you know, fit for them. There's just so many factors completely out of our control. And yet we want so much for them. We want the best for them and we want them to not hit burnout again. Yeah. And we have to make peace with it all.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember someone teaching me way, way back in my journey that parenting's sort of like a triangle and or pyramid. And at the bottom, when our children are youngest, that's when our influence is the biggest and they need us the most. And then as they get older, you know, that pyramid sort of goes up and our influence and their need for us, although I think they still need us in different ways, becomes less. And so we need to, when they're really young, we need to trust that we have given them the skills and the support that they need, that they're going to be able to use as they get older. Because our children are always watching us. They're always drawing in from our experience and they're always learning from us, even when we don't think that they are. But yes, it is a really tricky place to be, Jessica. I think the hardest thing for me has been, because a lot of our children also really value their autonomy and they're not going to just take advice from their parents or do things just because their parent tells them to. And so the fine line has always been offering support and guidance when I can and when my children are willing to receive it, and then stepping back and just being a support person and a support system for them, and realizing that even if they do go through hard stuff and it totally breaks your heart as a parent, those are their lessons to learn in life. And all we can do is be that person that they can come back to and support them and help them to go back out into the world and experience more things. Because that's ultimately what life is about, right? Us learning through our experiences. And as much as we'd like to, we can't take those experiences away from our children.
It's such a good reminder, and it's such a hard reminder, because I think that when we go through things, it's easier for us to understand and know, okay, well, there's going to be some reason for this. I'm going to get through this. Ultimately, this is going to be the best thing that happens to me in this particular circumstance. But it's so much harder to grasp that for our babies. And my baby, by the way, is 19 years old, right? So there is this worry. I have this constant worry about, you know, I was telling Jessica also earlier, my daughter was sending, her name is Arizona. She was sending a text message to a friend this morning on the way to school. And, you know, she's always reaching out to friends, right? And always waiting for someone to text back. And so she's like, "Mommy, I'm sending a text." You know, I wasn't asking her what she was doing. She was just saying, "I'm sending a text message to a friend," right? And I said, "Oh, what's it about?" And she's like, "Well, that's my business," right? And I'm thinking, "Yes, business. Thank you for sharing." But I also knew that she kind of wanted me to know that I'm trying to reach out to a friend. And mommy, I'm also going to be waiting for this friend to text back, because that's what happens. And that's her inner, you know, conversation and perseveration around, do you think she's busy? She's not busy. I haven't heard back from her, but maybe she's in school and maybe she's this and maybe she has a soccer game after school, right? And I don't know how to not want to jump in and fix, you know, not want to jump in and be like, yeah, well, you know, everyone is so busy and she's, you know, this is midterm season or there are exams coming up or whatever it is. And I just have to step back. I have to really, really, really consciously just be like, yeah, okay. Right. Yep. Thank you for sharing that you're texting with your friend. You know, something as small as that, I worry about, I know she's thinking about it all day today, right?
Yeah.
Whew.
Stay with us, Bravies. We will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, Bravies.
I know, it's so hard. And I think one of the things that I've learned through those experiences is that our children aren't looking for our solutions in those moments. They're just looking for connection. Yeah. And
right,
we are in such a fix-it culture, and the ways that our parents parented us majority of the time was to try to solve our problems or to give us advice. And when we can't fix the problem, we're always going to feel like we're a bad parent, because so much of our children's lives are out of our control. But the one thing that I have recognized that I always have in control in that moment is to be able to connect with my child. Mm-hmm. And that's all they really want from us. That's yeah. all they really need. Because that's going to give them the, they might not see it in that moment or appreciate it, but that's going to give them just that little bit of nourishment, a little bit of emotional nourishment to get through the day. Even if they don't, you know, put one and one together, but that's ultimately what they're wanting from us in those moments, in those bits for connection with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for that reminder. Just being overdoing, just listening over speaking, just validating over fixing, and just really trying to stay connected. I mean, I'm still learning this. My kids are 25, 22, and 20, and I feel like I've only really understood that on a better or a deeper level the last 5 years. You know, I wish when I was pregnant with my first, I got a crash course in connection first, not control, not fixing, right. not trying to make them grateful, not giving them life lessons, connection, emotional nourishment, just stay connected.
I know. And that's one of the hardest things. And I think the reason why it is so hard, and this is just my own theory, but our makeup as humans, and especially as mums, and I'm sure dads feel this too, but I can't talk because I'm not a dad, is that when we see our children in distress or we sense danger for them, our natural instinct is just to want to pick them up and take them and run away from the fire or the thing that's causing them to feel hurt, right? Mm-hmm. And when no one's really taught us to be able to feel comfortable to sit with certain emotions. And so when we feel those emotions with our children, it just puts us into that survival mode. And we just want to, you know, run away with our children from that thing that's hurting them. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why it's so hard to choose connection first is, first of all, that we don't feel comfortable with the emotions or even our own emotions. But we're going against that programming. We're going against the programming that says, I need to run away and take my child away from this really scary situation and protect mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're learning a new language. We're learning to rewire that in ourselves. And that's going to take time and practice. And it's a relatively new understanding, I think, that mm-hmm. we've got through things like neuroscience mm-hmm. that teaches us that that is actually all our children need. But we've got, you know, decades of experience of experiencing parenting the other way around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really important for us to remember that and to have compassion for ourselves that we're just doing our best.
For sure, I want to make sure that all of the listeners out there, including myself right now, understand all of the offerings you have for families, for caregivers. I just want to gobble everything up that you're saying. So I want to make sure that everyone knows how to reach out to you and what it is they can expect from your offerings.
Sure. Thank you for asking. So I work specifically with, my main part of the work that I do is with parents of children in burnout. So, and I do this in a one-to-one way for parents that need that one-to-one support, but I also have a really beautiful community called From Burnout to Balance, where it's a real parent support system rather than, you know, just like a parenting course or, you know, here's some strategies and some, you know, practical things to do, which we definitely have. But a lot of parents, when they're in this place, they need more than that. We need more than strategies and how-tos. We need people around us who actually understand what we're going through and that we can reach out to, and we can say, hey, you know, my life just feels incredibly hard right now, or I'm just carrying so much grief in my heart about this part of parenting, or you know, burnout can be an incredibly long process, the recovery from it, the chronic stages of, you know, moving from that acute part of burnout to, you know, where we're moving back into trying, you know, life in a more sustainable way. Mm-hmm. It can be a real process for a lot of parents. And so having other people around you who can help you through that journey, who can support you, is a really important thing. And so that's the reason why I have this community, and I just love it. And I love the parents in there. We have this beautiful Voxer chat, and the way that the parents just come in there and support each other and lift each other up. There's never anybody that's just like left feeling alone in there. It's such a heartwarming thing. And my younger self really just needed something like that. And so I feel so privileged that I can offer that to parents. And then I also have some opportunities for parents to book some one-to-one calls with me. Those are the things that I'm currently offering parents as a way of helping them and supporting them.
Sounds so rich and so wonderful, Tanya. You know what we have not asked you about is that you authored a book. So we'd love to hear that, because we're all about books on this podcast.
Yes. So during the book actually came out of my experience as I was going through my daughter's burnout. I didn't have the language then, or even just I was still really processing the whole journey of neurodivergence and what it meant. So the book isn't about anything to do with neurodivergence, but it is to do with the experience that many women go through when we hit perimenopause and we get this feeling of, who am I? Like, what's important to me as a person? And we also are faced with these places where we might have abandoned ourselves, where we might have given our power away to others. And so in the book, I look at the different female archetypes and how we can use some of that information and that wisdom in our own lives to help us to move more towards our own sovereignty as human beings, you know, our right to make choices about ourselves and our lives and our bodies and our things that are good for our family. Because part of the thing that I think a lot of parents may experience, especially when they do have children who are neurodivergent or children who can't go to school anymore or are struggling, is we receive so much information that takes us away from ourselves, yes, that causes us not to trust ourselves. And part of the journey or the transformation for us as parents through supporting our children with burnout, or maybe even just discovering our own neurodivergence, is to be able to come back to ourselves, mm-hmm, to trust ourselves again as parents, as women, and to go, you know what, I actually can trust my understanding of myself. I can back myself. I can feel confident in the decisions that I am making about my own life. And I don't always have to give my power away to others. So that's basically what the book is about.
In other words, you are speaking our language, Tanya. This is, and what is the name of the book?
It's called When She Wakes, She Will Move Mountains.
Oh, come on.
Right, we'll link that in the show notes for you guys. You can easily run and grab that. Oh, I love that. So good. So good. When are we doing a retreat in New Zealand?
Right. I'm just thinking, like, wait a minute.
I think we need to get there.
I'd love that.
I'm curious about your burnout to balance, right? Yes. That's your membership, right? Burnout to balance, the community. Do you have members all over the world? Is it mostly just in New Zealand?
We have parents from 9 countries in our membership. Mm-hmm. And it is all online and virtual because, you know, obviously being international. But we do have meetups once a month. I run 2 sessions, one that would suit our parents who are in, you know, America, Canada.
Okay.
And the Northern Hemisphere, and then we have another session that is more suitable to people in Europe and England and the UK. So it's very difficult to sometimes get a time zone that suits everybody.
Yes, we know.
We know.
The community only started this year, but our focus isn't just, as I said, on like parenting strategies, because you can get those everywhere, you know, and, mm-hmm. and understanding and knowledge. But my main focus is also just helping the mums in there to navigate some of their own inner experience of what they're going through as parents, because it is such a life altering journey for a lot of mums. And we're also, you know, most of the mums in their perimenopausal, going through the changes that go in our bodies and our minds at the stage of life. Plus, on top of this, we have this hugely life-changing experience with our children. And so it's a lot for us as, especially mums, to navigate in this period of our lives.
Yes. Agreed.
And that's why, like in my Instagram and my blog and, you know, all the things that I put out there, I am really focused on the parents' experience of this rather than, I mean, I do offer some, you know, some education around burnout and things to support our children. But I really believe in order for us to be able to fully support our children, we need to be able to support mums.
Mm-hmm.
Because
in our language.
Yeah. You know, ultimately we're the person that's going to have the biggest impact on our children and their lives. And, you know, our children can go to, what I've learned is our children can go to like therapy with, you know, professionals. And there are so many beautiful professionals out there, but it's only going to, you know, be that 1 hour of impact or influence on our children. But when we educate mums, when we give mums the tools and the resources to navigate this, but to also trust themselves, the impact of that is just huge.
Mm-hmm. It's like a ripple effect, really, if you think about it, right? What do they say about lighting a candle? Like it's not going to take away from... know the same, but it's not going to take away from a candle to light another candle, right?
Mm. Right.
So that's what I mean. But I'm just feeling sort of this ripple effect and this flow and this, you know, branching out to reach so many of us who are in such desperate need, actually, right now in this moment, all around the globe, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so much that's going out there in so many people's countries and just, you know, so much instability out there. And sometimes we can feel like what is one person, what's the difference that one person going to make? But when we start to come together and we start to take care of each other's light, the impact of that can be huge. And one of the biggest driving factors of my work, one of my biggest whys, is to change how we see neurodivergent people, how we support them, and how we make space for them in our world, because there's so many more neurodivergent people out there than we, you know, most people would think. Right. And one of the things I always come back to is when my daughter was in hospital the very first time and I found out about the autism, and then I started doing some research on life expectancy and life outcomes. I was just shocked. And I thought, I need to be able to do something here. And this isn't, I might just be one person, but that is my big why. I'd love to see a world where our children are accepted and they're thriving and they're doing the things that they've been put on in this world to do.
That's right. Tanya, if there was one thing you could create or one thing you could change that, you know, have lasting, dramatic impact and influence, is there something that comes to mind?
I would just really love to see our education spaces make more room for different types of learners.
Mm. Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes and amen. Yes.
Please.
That is a whole nother podcast episode.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have the ability to create so much either inspiration for our children, for them to be able to believe in themselves and who they are as a person and their gifts, or we have the ability in our education systems to just totally extinguish that light. And I just really wish there was some way that we could change that, so that these beautiful, brilliant children that come to us as educators can walk away with that light intact and that belief in themselves, you know, intact, rather than us walking away feeling totally unsupported and totally broke down by some of the systems that they're in.
Oh my gosh. Well, that is a powerful, wonderful way to end our conversation, Tanya. And Suzanne and I are 1,000% agree with you. Let's keep their light intact.
Yes.
For sure. This has been such a joy, and we're going to have you back. So thank you so, so much, Tanya.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's been such a lovely conversation. You never know when you come onto a podcast how you're going to connect with the other people, you know, on the podcast. And I just really feel like the time's just gone, and you know, we've really had such a beautiful conversation. So thank you so much, Suzanne and Jessica, for having me on.
Thanks so much for listening today on UK Health Radio. Do us a favor and leave us a review and a rating so that this podcast can get into the ears and the hearts of more and more moms. Did you know that Brave Together podcast is an extension of our nonprofit organization, We Are Brave Together? We Are Brave Together serves an international community of caregiving moms, offering support groups that are virtual and in-person, educational resources, and low-cost weekend retreats. And we have published our first anthology of caregiving stories entitled Becoming Brave Together, Heroic, Extraordinary Caregiving Stories from Mothers Hidden in Plain Sight. It will encourage and validate every parent caregiver. To join us today, go to wearebravetogether.org. Our support and sisterhood awaits you. Brave Together podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only. It's not a substitute for professional care and should not be relied on for medical or mental health advice. The use of any content on our podcast, links, show notes, or on our website is to be done at your own personal risk. Please seek out a professional to assess your own medical or mental health concerns, because we are all beautifully complex and the content of this podcast is for a broad audience.